Reach out, I'll be there. The Four Tops. Love the words in that song. I'll be there with the love to shelter you. And I'll be there with the love to see you through. I'll be there to always see you through. It's a great song, but I think it's even a greater way to live life. You know, we're in this series, Sold Out, and we've been talking about the church and what God could do through a group of people who are completely sold out to Jesus Christ, totally committed, fully obedient. That, in other words, we could be a church that will reach out to anyone and everyone that crosses our path. That we're called to treat people the way that we want to be treated. We're to respectfully meet people where they are and love them and welcome them and show them and show the world, I think, what love really looks like. That we're called to that as a church. And so today we're going to talk about serving one another, living a life that says, reach out, I'll be there. I'll be there. You can count on me. You know, we are created by God. We are called by God to reach out and to serve people. People that we get and people that we don't understand. That's our call as a church. And before we look at the scripture we're going to look at this morning, I want us to understand a little bit about the culture of the day when Paul was writing these words. See, in Jesus' day, Roman culture was rapidly expanding. And if you know anything about Rome, you know that Rome wanted to dominate the world. And they had a very core principle, and it was centered around a very clear identity of who they were and who you were in that society. And so they had seven classes of people, and you need to think about this. This was like a hierarchy. It's a pyramid, in other words. And the top of the pyramid was Caesar. Caesar was at the very, very top. And anywhere and everywhere that Caesar went, there were 24 elders that followed him around. And it was, think like an entourage. And they're following him, and they would sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." And so everywhere Caesar went, you would hear this. They would call him Lord. They would call him the King of Kings. And it was a form of worship. And so Caesar had all the authority in Rome. He had all the power in Rome. And people referred to him as a god. Then underneath Caesar, you had senators. There were 600 senators. These were politicians. They governed the various provinces of Rome. And then you had equestrians. These were people who had brought themselves into a place of power. In other words, maybe they were big business people, and so they had influence, they had resources, they had wealth, they had acreage and possessions and what have you. And so an equestrian had a seat at the table, and literally they had a seat, so that when they died they could will their seat or pass their seat on to an heir. Then you had decurions. These were local politicians. These are prominent people in cities and towns, again, government positions. These four classes made up 3% of the population. They had all the power. They maintained all the influence in Rome. And then you've got this massive gap between the four groups and the three bottom groups. And so under the Decurions, you had citizens, specifically Roman citizens. And Roman citizens, they had special privileges. They had access to certain things. They were afforded rights that other citizens and people didn't have. And then under them were freemen. These are people that had previously been a servant or slave. And then the lowest tier was servants. In Rome, there was this idea that you could change your status. you could step up a class if you did certain things. So, for instance, if you were a servant, you could become a freeman if you did the right things. And if you did the right things as a freeman, you could work yourself up and you could become a Roman citizen. And then if you had enough money, had been successful enough, you could become a decurion. And so you could keep accelerating and working, and if you worked really hard at it, you could climb. This is the Roman mindset of the day. This is how society operated. People found their identity in their class, in their position, in their title, so to speak. And that position was kind of clarified, and everybody knew it. You know, they could point to their bank account or their zip code, or they could show what chariot they were driving, you know, kind of what kind of power they could wield. People go, oh, yeah, they're in that class. I think when you look at the Roman mindset, it's easy to understand, isn't it? Because it's pretty contemporary. I mean, we understand that model. And then Jesus breaks into the scene. Now, Jesus wasn't born in the best hospital. He didn't go to the best schools. He didn't wear the finest clothes. In fact, he enters society in the lowest position. He comes as a servant. A section of society that most people considered illiterate. Jesus, think about this. Jesus, that sat on the throne in heaven, is born in a stable, placed in a manger where the cattle were eating. It's the lowest place. He didn't come in power. He breaks into the scene in the lowest position in Rome. I think it says something about the heart of God. I think it says something about the gospel story. In fact, I think it says something about the depths to which God will reach out. After Jesus' resurrection, right before his ascension, Jesus told his disciples to go and make disciples. And God's people heard that. We're told at Pentecost that the church was born. So Christ followers started gathering in homes. And they're singing, and they're worshiping, and they're learning. And then they kind of hit a wall. They go, whoa, culture's a barrier here. If we're going to be the community that God's calling us to be, it needs to be a new community. And some things need to change. See, the early church realized early on that they needed a new mindset. That the Roman mindset didn't work. They needed a new way to see things. And so under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, Paul, God starts speaking to him, and Paul writes these words to the early church. He says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. That word mindset, he's zeroing in. He goes, it's going to start here, folks. How you view other people. How you see the people around you. How you understand anyone and everyone that crosses your path. He says, before you worship, before you sing, before you pray, before you come together, you have to have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be used to his own advantage. Jesus sat at the right hand of God. That's a powerful position. But Paul says Jesus wasn't going to use that position to his advantage. He wasn't going to use that. In fact, the Greek word there for advantage means to grab a benefit from it. To exploit someone under him. Jesus says, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. being made in human likeness, being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. These words are loaded that Paul's writing. See, in Rome, the only thing worse than being a servant was being a criminal that was crucified on a cross. That was the worst thing. See, Paul's making a statement there. From the moment Jesus left heaven and came to this earth, Jesus was about turning everything upside down. He's going to flip everything over. And friends, we have to get this as a church and as Christians. Because in our culture, our path is ascent. It's very Roman in understanding, and that's fine. Except, life isn't about climbing ladders. Life isn't about climbing over someone to get to the next rung. I know how that goes. You hear that and you go, yeah, bring it on, baby. I'm on. I'm in. It's okay to serve, but, well, it's when I get something out of it. There's a benefit for me. You know, we say it this way. I'll scratch your back, scratch mine. It's about the climb, isn't it? Jesus, who sat at the right hand of God, looks down at this beautiful, very broken world. Jesus had all the power. But he humbles himself, becomes a servant. See, Jesus is wanting to teach a mindset that we're to have as Christ followers. It's not the path of ascent, but it's a path of descent. It's a new kingdom dynamic. It's turning things upside down. You know, in a kingdom where we're asked to put ourselves last, where we're asked to serve others. I don't know about you, but just hearing that, it goes against your instinct, doesn't it? I mean, what's your mindset? Is it to climb? Is it to take advantage of? Is it to find your identity in your position, your status? Or do you have the mindset of Christ in all your relationships? Something to wrestle with. You know, I remember as a young child going to birthday parties. And it was always strange to me because there were always games at birthday parties you never encountered anywhere else but birthdays, you know. Pin the tail on the donkey. Remember that? I don't even know if you can play that today or not, you know. I don't. Yeah. I was like, so... Remember the first time, pinata. That was just bizarre to me. They give you this little toothpick to try and break it, you know, spin you around, put a blindfold, and then go see if you can find it, you know, and you try and get it. But I remember the very first time I was introduced to limbo, you know. You know what I'm talking about? Now, anybody that knows me knows I love competition. I love competition. And so they called for us all to get in line. Well, I got in line first. Boom. I was there. They started some music up, and they told us we could go. And I ran as fast as I could, leaped in the air, and tried to go over the top of the broom. And I caught my foot on the broom. I went down. I caught the guy off guard. He went down. It was very embarrassing. I did not understand the game was to see how low you could go. And I'll be honest, I was not good at that. I wasn't very flexible. I hated it. I'd go to parties and I'd just cringe when they'd do that. Or skating. Yeah, do it on skates. Okay, that makes sense. I hated the game. But here's the question for us. How low can you go? How low can you go? It's a new mindset. It's a different way to think about things. You know, Jesus shows up in a way that he could have been on top, but he chose to leave that. I mean, he was over everything. And he humbles himself and he comes down to this earth and he becomes flesh and becomes a servant. and he models it over and over and over again in Scripture. In fact, I believe if you're going to serve others, not only do you have to change your mindset in your life, but you got to change your posture in life. And I'm not talking physically change your posture necessarily, but I'm talking about the posture of your heart. You know, there's a story, it's told in John, the 13th chapter. You might read that chapter this week, but people are flooding into the city of Jerusalem. It's for the Passover celebration. And if you don't know what Passover, the Jewish people, it was a religious holiday. They would gather, they would celebrate being delivered from Egypt. You know, Moses delivering them from Egypt and God delivering them. Jesus and the disciples had gathered. And you have to remember, I think a lot of times we get this picture of the disciples. Some of these disciples are teenagers. And so they're gathered around this table. And not a table like you think about where you got, you know, tables and chairs. No, this is a table. It's like a coffee table. And they're gathered there. They're laying on the floor. There are no chairs to be found. They're laying back on blankets and pillows, and they're leaning on one arm. They eat with the other arm. And I can imagine that they're sitting there, and they're eating, and they're talking, and they're sharing stories, and they're laughing, and just having a good time. And John tells us what Jesus was thinking during this meal. It says Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, took off his robe, and wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water in a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. They're eating. They're celebrating. They're having a good time. And then Jesus just abruptly gets up from the table. And he takes the form of a servant. And he starts washing the disciples' feet. See, it's a position of where his heart was. You know, they're all sitting around, and what's Jesus doing? And he gets up to serve. Remember when I was in college, we had a dorm mom. Her name was Ma Poole, or that's what we called her. And she would have students in for dinner quite often. And it was a regular occurrence. You'd cruise by, and you would see like 10 or 12 students gathered around a table for four, okay? And she'd make a great big dinner. And she would fill your plate and give you a plate, and then she'd do the next person. And she'd go through all these kids, giving them food. And when she got done, well, by then, how many of you have teenagers? You know what happened. The first one's already done. And so she'd start again. She'd do it. And sometimes she'd go through two times before she ever sat down. And I used to think, that's about serving. You know, that's a posture that says, yeah, I'm not first here. I'm going to go last. It's okay. I'll just serve. Friends, what's your posture in life? Me first? I got to get mine. I got to do this for me. Me, 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 me. Or does your posture allow you to go last? See, it's Passover. Jesus gets up from the table. He's making a point. He gets up from the table. He takes off his outer robe. He grabs a basin. He fills it with water. He gets a towel. And then he kneels down at one of the disciples' feet, and he starts washing them. And then he goes to the next one. Now, I grew up that this was like common practice, you know, that washing feet. It wasn't common practice. It did happen. But it wasn't happening all the time. And when it did happen, normally it was a servant that would do it. In fact, a servant couldn't refuse doing it. If they were asked to do it, they had to do it. Jesus was modeling the posture, the humility that he expected. others to model. We know from the Gospel of Luke, if you begin to tie the Gospels together, that earlier in the day, the disciples had been in an argument. Guess what they were arguing about? They're arguing about who was going to be the greatest of them. See, I think Jesus was sitting in that meal and he thought, yeah, I need to show them. I need to show them. They're so caught up on being who's greater. And the greatest of them gets up from the table and says, I'm going to become the least at this table. It's the posture that love takes. Think about that for a minute. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the all-powerful, the all-knowing, takes the position and begins to wash the feet of disciples. In fact, he's going to wash the feet of a man who he knows is going to betray him. He knows that when he does it. There's another guy at that table. He knows that this guy's going to doubt that he was resurrected. And Jesus is washing their feet. He's modeling. He's posturing the heart in a position. He wants his followers to understand what life's to be about. I mean, when was the last time you served somebody that betrayed you? That doubted you? I don't believe in you. I don't think you have what it takes. You'll never be able to do that. You're going to fail. You're going to fail. You don't have it. You don't have it in you. You're not good enough. Jesus is washing the feet of a guy that he knew would deny even knowing him. Not just once. He's going to do it 3 times. I mean, Jesus knew what Peter was going to do. And here's my point. Jesus was dealing with a motley crew here. I mean, there are betrayers and doubters and deniers. There were people, they had messed up so many times. And I think, you know what? That's the kind of people that you and I rub shoulders with all the time, isn't it? I mean, in the workplace, at school, in the neighborhood, church, negative people, mean-spirited people, angry people, skeptical people, you know, self-centered people. And it's the same kind of people that Jesus was dealing with that day. And Jesus got down on his knees to serve them. Can you do that? Can you do that? They don't vote like you. Can you serve them? They don't believe like you believe. Can you serve them? You know, they've done some stuff to hurt you, but can you serve them? Oh, they've failed so many times, it's ridiculous. They ought to be embarrassed. Can you serve them? Because the mindset of a Christ follower says, how low can I go? And the posture of the heart says, I will go last. It is not about me. Jesus, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. I'll serve. I'll be there. I'll do whatever it is that you want me to do. Just tell me. Show me. Nudge me. Push me. The story is great because Jesus gets to Peter in the story. He's going to wash Peter's feet. And it says this. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. No, Peter said, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Peter's reactions, no, don't touch my feet. This is not happening. You're not going to wash them. Jesus says, Peter, it's okay, it's okay. I know what you're thinking, but I don't play by Roman rules. The kingdom of God's different. And in fact, Peter, if you read the story, he'll tell him, I know what you're going to do tonight. I know what's going to happen, and you know what? I'm still going to serve you anyway. I mean, it's worth the read because Peter does his normal. Peter's always gets wound up, you know, and he's overzealous about things. And so immediately when Jesus says, no, I need to wash your feet, then Peter's like, I'm all in on this. Go ahead, just wash my whole body. Because I really love you, Lord. Really love you. I mean, it's a funny story, really. Jesus says, nah, and he washes Peter's feet. My question is, what's your mindset? What's your mindset? Will you serve everyone always? Do you have the mindset of Jesus Christ? I mean, what's the posture in your heart? Will you serve others? Or do you only serve when there's a benefit for you, when you can climb the ladder, when you get an advantage in something? You know, Jesus finishes washing Peter's feet. He's washed all the disciples' feet. Puts the basin down. Puts his robe back on. And then he looks at the disciples, and they don't get it. I mean, they're kind of dumbfounded at this point. The scripture says, Jesus said to him, you call me teacher and Lord, and rightfully so, for that's what I am. Now that I, the Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also wash one another's feet. Now, I envision at this point that the disciples are all looking at each other. Looking at each other's feet, you know. They're shuffling around. They're like little kids when they get in trouble. And they don't know what to do, and they don't know what to say, so they just, you know. I think that's what the disciples are doing at this point. Because they're just not sure. And then Jesus says to them, I've set you an example that you should do as I've done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you what? If you do them. And what's Jesus saying there? If you're going to serve like me, Jesus says, that the kingdom mindset has to change your mind. God's kingdom needs to get into your heart, and it needs to change your posture, and it needs to become action. Love is always action. Love is always about reaching out to those around us. You know, Jesus is saying to the disciples, he says, you call me Lord, you call me teacher, and you're correct in calling me that. But if you say that's true, if you really believe that, then do what I do. If I respect everyone, then you need to respect everyone. If I'm welcoming to everyone, then you need to be welcoming to everyone. If I'm serving everyone, then you need to be serving everyone. It's what love does. It's what love does. It's what we're called to do. It is essential and it is core to who the church is and what the church is called to do in this world. You know, Jesus says, if you do this, if you just get out there and get about it and do these things, I'll bless you in that. You know, that Hebrew word for blessing, it's a beautiful word because it's connected to the deepest level of satisfaction that you can experience. It's connected to favor that God pours down on you. And in a culture that is focused on trying to ascend, always climbing, always searching. You know, a culture that's always trying to find something, anything that will give satisfaction. It's a foreign concept. Jesus says, your mindset's got to be like mine. Your posture's got to be like mine. Your actions, they need to be like my actions. And if you do that, you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed. Paul would write, and he says, therefore God exalted him. He's talking about Jesus here. To the highest place. He gave him the name that's above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Why did God do it? Because Jesus came with no power. He let it all go. Jesus came in humility. Jesus came as a servant. And he took that servant mentality. And he began to change lives. He allowed the posture of his heart to be other-centered. He allowed that to really change the world when you think about it today. I mean, here's an easy way to remember this. Mindset, it means go low. Posture means go last. And action means go love. Go love the people around you. You know, we are called to that as followers of Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian, you're called to that. You're called to go. You're called to go as low as you can go. And you're called to put yourself in that last position. And you're called to love the people around you. And friends, I challenge you to get really practical here. You know, whether you're at work or at school or at the gym or in your neighborhood, wherever you're at, anywhere and everywhere, there's no escape clause here, by the way. Wherever you're at, you're to ask yourself, who should I serve? Who should I serve? As you walk through your day, your week, ask yourself, who should I be serving? You know, maybe it's a boss, maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's a teacher, maybe it's a student, maybe it's a neighbor, maybe it's the person sitting next to you today. Maybe it's one of the kids in the zone. You know, maybe it's somebody at the gym or at the store. Who are you going to serve? If you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, you're called to serve. And in fact, some of you right now, the Holy Spirit, you're seeing a face. It came flashing across. And that's who God's calling you to serve. And I would say to you, do not play it safe. Take a risk. Get outside yourself. Get outside your comfort zone. I know people go, I get uncomfortable. Get outside your comfort zone and serve those around you. People that have failed you, serve them. People that have doubted you, serve them. People that are different than you, serve them. If God's whispering to you, friends, just pray and ask God to give you the mindset to go low enough. To change your heart so that you go, okay, I can go last. I can serve them. And then you just actually do it. Just go love people. Here's second. Where are you going to serve? You know, maybe you got to go to their house. Will it be at work? Will you have to walk across the street? See, now you know who, you know where, and you go with open hands, an open heart, and now it's the how. How will you serve? Maybe it's helping them with something. Maybe it's running an errand for somebody, watching the kids for them. Maybe it means asking them to go to lunch or dinner. Maybe it's paying a bill for them. You know, giving them something. I don't know. It may mean just spending time with them because they need somebody to listen and encourage and cheer them on. How will you serve? And here we go. This is where it gets tough. When will you serve them this week? So you get very, very specific about it. Some of you, what you need to do is you need to give yourself a deadline. You know, Wednesday at noon. I'm going to do it by Wednesday at noon. Those of you that are slackers are thinking, yeah, Saturday night, midnight, I'll try and do it. Well, I'm not sure people would be real thrilled if you show up at their house at midnight to go, hey, I'm here to help you with dinner. I don't know. Who? Where? How? When? And Jesus will say, well done, do it again. Do it again, and again, and again. Friends, it's what followers of Jesus Christ do. You know, some people, they ask me why we make such a big deal out of serving around here. That we are saying, serve on a team, get on a team. Well, one, it gets you connected to other people. But two, it gets you outside yourself. It gets you serving one another. You know, there are people serving right now that make this happen in here. and so they're serving. You know, we serve to serve those that come through the door that are hurting, that are searching, that are broken, that just need a window open where they can see God. See, it's what love does. Love goes low, love goes last, and love loves. It just gets to it. And I will tell you, the more you do it, the easier it becomes. It'll become your mindset over time. And it changes your heart. And it changes your posture in life. And as you go low, as you get the focus off yourself, it changes lives, and God says, I'll lift you up. I'll lift you up and I'll bless you. And those that, think about it, anytime you've ever served someone, don't you come away going, man, that felt good. It's because that's how God created us. That's how he designed us. You know, that's the ultimate, you know. We think the ultimate's when, like, we get something for ourselves. But the reality is it's those moments, you know. That was the right thing to do. You know, it's that moment when I know God smiles, says, well done, well done. That wasn't easy, but well done. Let's stand for a word of prayer to God. There'll be prayer teams down front. Maybe you got something going on this week. Maybe it's been going on for a while. Let them pray with you. You know, this is how we serve one another. Pray for one another. We support one another. I tell people, you don't have to say much. You just have to say, pray for me. You know, you may want to go further, say, I got something going on at work. Just pray for that. You know, but you can say as much or as little as you want, but let teams pray for you today. And so when we go from here, we're going to love. Figure out who God's called you to love. Figure out how to do it. And then just do it. Just do it. Just do it. Make the world a better place. And it brings glory to God. Let's bow in prayer. Our holy God, God, we praise you. God, we pray that you would guide our steps. That God, we are so thankful that Jesus was willing to leave that throne and come to this world and give it all up for us. And God, I pray that we would not only say, you're Lord, but we would show it by how we live, the lives that we touch. God, if you call us, we'll go. Whatever it is you'd have us do, we'll do. If we need to say something, we'll say it. We need to give something up, we'll give it up. God, I pray that we would just put you first and put others first in our lives. God, help us to be a church that when community looks, that they say, you know, they love. They know how to love people. God, help us to be who you've called us to be, who you created us to be. We give you glory with all we say and all we do, God's people said. Let's continue worshiping.